A lot of empty pews that were full before I stepped up here. I'm just filling in the pulpit this morning. Wyatt will be back. He had the opportunity to fill the pulpit at the church in Wichita that he attended while he was in school down there. So he guilted me and Denny into doing this, and Jim. When he asked me to do this about a month ago, of course, I drag everything on. I just finished it this morning. I said, I don't know much about the Bible. Been sitting in these pews for 60 years. But I thought, well, I could do this parable of the sower. I've been in the dirt for 50 years, so I could do that. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get my version of the parable of the sower. And we're going to read from Matthew. This parable is in all three, or the first, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to read, to start it, we're going to read from Matthew 13, 1 through 23. And then when we get into the text, we're going to switch over to Luke. It's a little bit simpler, but Matthew is quite a bit longer. And Wyatt said this needed to last an hour, so we're going to read that part. We're going to start with the verse above it where Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee preaching. And while he was still standing, the crowd, his mother and brother, stood outside wanting to speak to him. Some told him, "Your mother and brother are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered seed, some fell on the path, and the birds come along and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants scorched them, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a good crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has the will to be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be given and taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them fulfilled is," that's the prophecy. That is a quote from Isaiah that Jesus used quite a bit in his parables. "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this, people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But the blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you have seen, but have not seen it, and hear what you have heard, but have not heard it. Listen then to what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and once receives it with joy. But when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word, understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times more than what was sown. This parable, I've heard this parable many times over the years, or parts of it. I don't know if I've ever had a whole sermon on it until I started studying it, and I watched several. I thought, well, this would be a simple one because, you know, like I said, I've dug around in the dirt for a long time. But when I've always heard this, I said, well, this would be easy for me because when I was incarcerated last spring, I watched a lot of regenerative ag YouTubes. I should have been watching more preaching YouTubes. But I thought, well, I can just tell everybody how to fix their soil. So, but I thought, like back then, I thought this was all about when I was sitting here, why didn't they just do this? Why didn't they do that to make a better crop and grow more grain? But it's not about production agriculture. I guess I was one of those guys with ears that didn't hear, or just one of these farmers that thinks a man can produce good fruit in the sight of God by ourselves, doing what we know how to do in this world. Verse 5 out of Luke 8 talks about the farmer and the sower going out to sow. A farmer went out to sow his seeds and scattered the seed, and some fell on the path, and it was trampled, and the birds of the air come up and ate it before it could sprout. Now, this sower is not like how we sow seed in the West. They had it in a bag, and they scattered it by hands, their hands. They had a bag. They walked around, and they threw the seed out. And the fields, they weren't anything like what we have or what we think of when we think of a wheat field. I'm sure if they were sowing, they were sowing wheat or barley or oats. But the fields were smaller. They were probably not even tilled prior to planting. They might not even had marked boundaries. And that's why they had paths through the middle of them, because the people walked where it was easiest to walk, and they would just walk through the paths. And they might just went right through the middle. They might have a boundary where somebody picked up a rock and laid it over here, and this is where my property ends. This is where the next guy's property starts. But there was no fences. There were no hedgerows, and there were definitely no section line roads that what we have today. They scattered the good seed by hand. It was probably hand-picked. I don't know if any of you guys, they don't do this anymore, but in 4-H, we used to have a wheat show, and it wasn't just a bag of wheat like they do today. We had jars, gallon jars of wheat, and we had to lay it out on a blanket, and we picked it and picked it and picked it and picked it, and we kept it all clean and have the plumpest berries that weren't shriveled, they weren't cracked or anything. We did do a couple little sifts, but that's about all the mechanical stuff we had. By the time I got older, we finally put little styrofoam things in the middle so we wouldn't have to pick the whole gallon. That would take weeks and weeks and weeks. But that is how they come up with the seed, the good seed, and they picked it. They might have stirred the dirt after they put the seed out and then might have poked it into the ground with a stick. There was no drills, no planters, but the sowers might have had a lot of faith. A modern farmer would have some heavy kind of tillage tool to break the hard pan, like a ripper or a disc or some kind of cheap sweep chisel. But God's word is the sword of the Spirit, and it cuts right to the heart to open these hard hearts to the Holy Spirit so they can begin to produce good fruit from within their hearts. The next type of soil is the stony soil. And it's something that we think, well, we can change that with just a little bit of micronutrients. But Luke, verse 6, tells us that some fell on the rock. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. And then we still talk about, we can go back, clear back into the Old Testament of Ezekiel 36:26, where we're talking about the hard hearts. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart from the stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then when Jesus explains this parable in Luke to his disciples, I'm going to read 12 and 13 again. 12 says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then when the devil comes, it takes it away, the word, from their hearts, so they cannot believe and be saved. And those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with the joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. It's kind of like a seedling. A young seedling is kind of like an immature Christian. They need nurtured by the word. They need reminded often that Jesus died a horrific death on the cross for them. The word in this parable is the seed, and it's always called the good seed because it is perfect and it cannot be corrupted. They need to keep in their minds and open their hearts to receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 says, you have to be born again to receive the Holy Spirit. It takes some work and some time to grow a crop, to bring it to harvest. Sometimes you have to do some things that you really don't enjoy doing. Just like growing spiritually, sometimes you hear or read or see something that you don't really like, or something that makes you just feel a little bit uncomfortable. Wyatt has us all stepping out of our comfort zone. I'm feeling just a little uncomfortable up here in front of you all today, but I think we're going to get through this. The next verse of verse 7 talks about the thorns and the nettles and the weeds. The other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, 2,000 years ago, when this parable was written or talked about, they didn't have any herbicides. Today, we have pre-plant herbicides, post-emergent herbicides, all sorts of chemicals to balance our soil chemistry. Some of these guys even have the See and Spray technology on their sprayer. This is on my wish list, but it'll never happen. You don't have to spray the whole field. You're going across the field at 13 miles an hour, it sees a weed and it zaps it. And so you don't have to put it everywhere. We have ground rigs, we have airplanes, and we have drones. So we can kind of take care of the weeds. But again, it's not about production agriculture. Going back to Luke, in verse 14, it says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. This is a real rough one for me. For years, I always, probably about Wednesday, started looking for a reason to miss church worship service on Sundays because I was too busy feeding the world, feeding their stomachs. I had, when I was a deacon, I would never sign up any time during the summer because I might be busy. And I couldn't sign up during calving season because I probably no way I could make it. But when Jesus comes into your heart and the Holy Spirit starts creeping in, you can figure out that you can get up earlier and get some of this stuff done. And you can make it. But we all have that same problem. We have a trouble staying on track, coming to church. We know we need to do it, but there's a lot of things going on. And now, especially in our culture, it seems like we don't put anything on Saturdays because that's for families. And we have everything going. We have meeting nights Monday night. Tuesday nights are ball games. Wednesday night, they do leave that alone. That's for church. Thursday night's ball games, Friday night's ball games, Saturday night's family stuff. So where do they put all the stuff? They put it on Sundays. So our culture has kind of shifted away. So it's kind of rough to get to all your kids and grandkids' stuff that they've moved to Sundays. But we think, we'll go ahead and miss and we'll go watch a ball game, or grandson's ball game or granddaughter's game or dance. We'll be all right. We'll go home and read our devotions and we'll be all right. But there's nothing wrong with these activities. But if we get in a rut, sometimes we just keep missing and missing, missing. It's just a little bit easy to fall away. And then sometimes we have people that come to church, that come to the service because they're having struggles with something at home, something within them, something within their families. And they come for a while, and they're very eager. And then all of a sudden, they're gone from our pews. Most of the time, we don't know whether they got better, or they worked things out, whether they thought they got better on their own. Or maybe we failed them as a congregation by not seeing that they'd need nurtured in their faith to keep them hungry for the Word of God. And then when we go back to Luke in 15, it talks about the good soil. But the seed that fell on the good soil for those with a noble and good heart to hear the word and retain it, and by persevering and produce a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When I was started on this venture, I was thinking our hardened hearts and our deaf ears and the pleasures of this world could be fixed like we do with our soil. Today, we plant cover crops to add organic matter to put our soil chemistry in balance. We have special tools. We have VT machines to move stuff, to break our hard pans. We can add micronutrients in the RT machine like Denny runs for Kaiser Ag and Big Air machines that can go across and put three or four different kind of fertilizers and chemicals that are made from crushed rock right into where we want it. But to come people of God that produce good fruit in the sight of God, it takes a different turn. It's not just good people that are the good soil. We can all be fruitful. We need to be grateful that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins on the cross and to open our hearts and to accept the Holy Spirit into our everyday lives so that we, when we are between a rock and a hard place or we're off in the weeds, he will guide us back. Maybe not the way that we want to go, but if we just follow him, he will lead us. I want to finish with 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. And it says, it does not matter who plants or waters. It is God who gives the growth. We can have our invitation hymn. And I'd like to invite anybody, while this going on, if they feel the need to come up and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their hearts and accept him as their personal Savior. We'll do that.